This is Paul Foster for WNCW, and it's time now for this week's More to the Story. Recruiting and keeping qualified teachers is an ongoing important factor in the state of South Carolina, and in particular upstate South Carolina, as this week we go to the pages of the Spartanburg Herald Journal and talk with education reporter about this subject matter, Zach Fox. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for your time. School districts, I understand, are trying to get ahead of the problem of a teacher shortage. What is this in South Carolina that's called the TERI program, which stands for Teacher Employee Retention Incentive?
The TERI program was a program that started to keep highly qualified teachers in South Carolina classrooms beyond what is the typical age or number of service years for retirement. Basically, instead of retiring, these teachers could stay on, earn their salary, and essentially earn a little bit more based on what the state could afford to pay them based on the need that they filled. A lot of the TERI employee teachers are in fields like special ed and math, which are known as critical needs fields. The state is not seeing a lot of teachers go into those two fields, so the more highly experienced teachers in those fields that you can keep in the classroom, the better it is for the education system as a whole.
What's the status of the TERI program? Something's coming up this summer, if I'm not mistaken.
The TERI program actually ends on June 30th. It'll cease to exist, and a lot of teachers and a lot of employees, because this extends further to government employees, city employees, different places like that, are having to look at whether they want to continue working and what is essentially a salary limit on how much they can make, or if they want to go ahead and retire and start collecting on their state retirement benefits.
What's the round number on just how many teachers and others could potentially leave their jobs due to this?
Well, according to the state newspaper in Columbia, who did a little research on this, they found that there are about 7,500 teachers and then state and local government workers who are on what is known as the TERI program. So it's not entirely specified how many of those are teachers, but it's thought to be a pretty good-sized majority of that 7,500 number.
How does the state of South Carolina's pension system play a role in TERI?
Well, the pension system is actually a large part of why the TERI program was ended. Essentially, there were some state lawmakers who didn't not like the idea of what was called double dip, where teachers could earn their salary and then earn some of their retirement benefits as they continued to work. They have been phasing out TERI for several years, giving employees, especially teachers, chances to figure out what they're going to do next. The deadline on the end of the program, like we said earlier, is in June. So I'm sure there are a lot of teachers trying to figure out what their next step. I know for me personally, my mother is a teacher who is on the TERI system, and she is currently meeting with people trying to figure out if she can keep teaching or if she's going to have to essentially retire and take another related type of job.
When you were doing your research and putting your story together, were you able to find out, and I know this has been a problem at times in North Carolina and other places around the country, in South Carolina, just how many are in college these days to become a teacher? Are those numbers down?
Yeah, those numbers are down. The Center for Educator Recruitment, Retention, and Advancement, which puts out a report every year on the state's teaching workforce, actually found that the numbers of teachers leaving the classroom was up and the number of graduates from state colleges eligible to become teachers was down. They found that going into the last school year for 2016-17, the number of graduates from state colleges eligible for teaching certification fell from 2,447, which it was in 2013, to just a little under 1,900, which it was in 2016. So there are hundreds fewer college graduates eligible to become teachers than there were even just a few years ago.
Zach, before we wrap up on this subject and we talk about something else before our time concludes, would you say that the program has been beneficial in particular to upstate counties like Spartanburg, Union, and Cherokee?
I definitely would. The nine school districts I cover, the seven of Spartanburg County and then Cherokee and Union, did not have very many teacher vacancies heading into the school year. Each district has a handful of employees on the TERI program, but everyone I talked to from local school districts, they weren't terribly worried about the end of the TERI program and the possible negative ramifications it could have on them I remember a lot of them mentioned that with so many colleges in the area and several just across the border in North Carolina, they've been able to kind of keep up a pretty qualified teacher pool over the last several years, and they're hoping they can keep that going here as we move forward, even without the Terry program keeping some of those older teachers around.
My guest is education reporter from the Spartanburg Herald-Journal, Zach Fox, on More to the Story from WNCW. Zach, we wanted to touch on an upcoming report or series that you are working on about poverty schools. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. It's going to be a series of stories stemming from the Spartanburg academic movement's work with the four highest poverty schools in the county, two of which are in District 6 and two of which are in District 7. And each story will tackle an issue that the four schools share in common and look at some of what the schools and the districts and even some state officials are doing to counteract some of those issues. And ultimately, we hope to include a profile of a teacher and a student from each of the four schools in with the stories in the series. So we hope we can kind of shed some light on what these schools that have been known as long-time heavy poverty schools are doing to kind of fight the negative perceptions that some people might have of them.
When does it look like the series on poverty schools might be available?
I believe the first story in the series is set to run on February 25th, so sort of right at the end of the month.
Be on the lookout for poverty schools coming from Zach and the Spartanburg Herald-Journal. Zach Fox, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Again, that's the education reporter of the Spartanburg Herald-Journal, Zach Fox, our guest on WNCW's More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster, reminding you that the program's also a podcast on our website, which is wncw.org.